All right, please welcome Duncan McNaughton.
Thank you, Stephen. And also thanks to the Poetry Center, too. I'm going to read a couple of things that are printed in books, but otherwise things that are not, from the last quite a few years, I guess it turns out. That's just stuff that's been piling up, but it has a title, which is The Second Window. From mirror after mirror, no vanities displayed. I'm looking for the face I had before the world was made. Yeats's words, outside the second window, looking in. The lines are from a very beautiful poem of his called A Woman Young and Old, written around, I suppose, around 1928. Apropos Amiri B. Aesthetic honor, that creative imagination is the only possible substitute for the plainest sort of good sense, and is, after all, merely an intensification of good sense to the point of incandescence. Those words are words of James Agee. Some of these things have hairlines beneath the poem and then something written behind below the hairline. So if I read a piece and then I go like that, it's just the hairline. And what follows, this is called Torbett Tyler on the Train. Like Dante and Shakespeare and Homer, I wake mornings astonished by the night's dream. You know what I mean by having said so. I suppose Sappho did too, all her life, all mine. Not my dream, the dream given by night. Is it night's dream as well? The dream night dreams? Has night its dreams from chaos? The nice ones tell me of the tender side of chaos, her beautiful personal side, the side concerning death, the side which Eros Callistos knows about, that unstrings the limbs and subdues both mind and sensible thought. You know what I mean. The side we trust. As usual, a lovely girl whose bright desire, eyes sparkling, victorious smile, voluptuous body, make day appear before its customary hour. Poet Hesiod got the summons rightly writ. We haven't daylight from the sun, nor love. The little line underneath, it says, little souvenir to Ed Sanders. There is a Greek folk song. An old traditional song in which some words are, there are three good things in this world, the upper world, youth and levandia and the beautiful girl. Levandia is Greek for manly excellence or arete. Also, a little scribble on here, because I was reminded by the poem that it was Nerval who was Heine's French translator who pointed out that we never see the sun in dream. The sniffles. Mind, the beautiful American. As war is the condition, sooner or later, you have to pick a side. But no side has won my heart. War is for heroes. Into the glamour of performance. It's an example of cultural mediocrity. There are a lot of others, but war has the big boots. If you are lucky in war, you can have anything you want. That's the sad part. The strong are lucky, the ugly are lucky. The percentages taken for granted. They are distributed in varying proportions in each of us, each of the three, at odds with each other. I hadn't mistaken innocence, nor had I mistaken experience. The mistake I made was a misreading of the words. What else to misread? Of the interpreter, the one who translates possibility, that organizes possibility into the form of the fourth, family, father, mother, child, and the genius of completion. I am, therefore, yet looking down from heart's precipice into heart's starry night, into the containment of love's embarrassment of itself, written with its dream pencil in moon dust. It has a line underneath it, and it says under the line, Memento, Jack Clark. It was Blake who was known to the few people who spent any time with him toward the end of his life as the interpreter. And of course, he was working on Dante. Yeats said, remarked in relation to the poem A Woman Young and Old, I am Blake's disciple, not Hegel's. Contraries are positive. A negation is not a contrary. The poem you have on the little program handout, which is called Wittgenstein's Grave, has the term in it, Sinvat. The full expression is the Sinvat Bridge. It's the bridge that after death, the soul is guided over by its angelic companion, passing between negation and the negation of negation. It's something I ran into 50 years ago when I first read a book called Avicenna and the Visionary Recital by Henry Corbin. This is called Childhood and Youth. It has a little epigraph at the top. In September 2000, the mayor of Le Lavandou, Gilles Bernardi, proclaimed a bylaw making it illegal to die in the town. It's an absurd law, he said, to counter an absurd situation. The war never ended. Some of those bridges are still burning. I speak to you in figures. Was I looking for friends? No. I was looking for a girl. For a while, I tried to improve my status in life, but an historical pattern of this kind of thing proved impossible even for me to ignore. Presently, the poets showed up, they and their friends and their opinions. Or I showed up alone, wondering how I might conceive an opinion of my own. The war hasn't ended, I said. I said, look at all the bridges behind me, and pointed at the fires no one other than me could put out. I am the arsonist, I said, the firebug. Don't be an ass, they said. A cold war has no flames. Moreover, your bridges don't matter. They aren't even bridges. They are just the messes you made down by the riverside. Why don't you go back and tidy up all that shit? You can't hide forever behind the war. The war ended. We won. Apparently, you lost. You don't even know what a figure of speech is. We know best. Boy, you can imagine how hurt I was when the poets laid all those numbers on me. Okay, I said. I guess I'll go now. I did go. I went over to David Highsmith's furniture store and bought a book, Musk, Hashish, and Blood by Hector France. He's the guy who was married to Irma Claire before she married Henri Delacroix and became Madame Cross. Nice looking woman. Then I went to my place to read the story and smoke hashish and drink whiskey and set another bridge ablaze. Standing on it, I met Virgil. You know, I said, I thought all those figures of speech you used were real figures of speech. They are, he said. Pay no attention to fools. Here, come with me. I have a bridge to see to, and I wouldn't mind some company. Bring your strike anywheres. That's to David. Le Dulot, poem for gumshoes. Deleuze is French for hat. And it also, at least in mid-century Paris, had another sort of slang meaning in the milieu, and that was, it meant an informer, a rat. It's a movie of Jean-Pierre Melville. Which starred Alain Delon, who was the father of Nico's son, although he never acknowledged it, but his mother did, because the kid looked so much like her son, etc. Stick around. Up on the roof, the weather vane whirling. It's been a while since we've had a tropical storm in San Francisco. Tropical, warm, wet. It's tempting. But I can't see myself south, Havana, any more than I can see myself north, Colima. Cold, light, moist warmth. Just in between, temperate. The dumb show, Ginsberg called it, in the wax museum, poetry is. Say, wow, isn't that Bobby Dylan over there? How do you want to play it? The black sadness. Swift, whooshing wind, wind chimes tingling, Hammett. In its marine mist, the automobile, cigarettes, the unforeseeable that comes from tailing dames. Leroy Jones and or John Wieners could have introduced Frank O'Hara to Edward Dorn. Interesting four-cornered hat you might wear for Carnevale, a Venezia, to Tom. That light up. Old age, senescence, is an affront to one's vanity. So don't let it rattle you. It's supposed to be like this. You are supposed to become disoriented. How could you not? After all, there used to be what was called penny candy, which if you had a penny, you could get a candy. There are still automobiles, like before, only with neon door handles. You can't blame the stars. A lot of people need help. A lot of people want to help. A lot of people are no fucking help at all. With that, I command the mist on the moor. Whisper, would you? I ache to hear your voice. So my mind a lot, which I'm sure is on the minds of a lot of you too, or, you know, friends who are struggling one way or another. And some of them are suddenly not around anymore. Metric wire. Crawling around rotted balconies, big holes, rotted pyramidal roofs, rotted rafters. I feel funny telling you this because I don't know how it fits in, or if it should fit in, or for that matter, should fit into what. 25 years gone, in Santa Cruz, I did some roofing. The crew was me and a sweet, young, working-class dyke like me from somewhere around Boston. We listened to the Sox lose the series. J'étais a no-letter athlete in high school. In college, I fenced. One night, I phone-ordered pizza, which was delivered by my coach, the short, slender, middle-aged man from Prague. We were embarrassed. Money was exchanged. Afterward, sure, it all made sense. Like hell, it all made sense. It would have, had I chosen to be a stage actor. I'm pretty sure Montgomery Clift fenced. But despite its robotic sincerity, its widely shared base values, its nearly always repulsive secrets, I picked a career in poetry because poetry told me that it was the sole means by which I could educate myself. To Ralph Maud. The late Ralph Maud. This is called Baku Fantasia. Sorry about the nose. Baku Fantasia. The very earnest Azerbaijani was singing with all the force he had to spare amid a medley of stringed instruments, warbling and tweeting as Hogan made his way to the bar. Another crackpot assignment for the elderly cub reporter. Music deafening, although familiar. First time for Hogan. Caspian Greek? What am I doing here, this wilderness? What is safety here? Questions like that, he had 10,000 of those. The singer wouldn't quit. One gallingly yearning melody following the one before, having its throat cut by his rusty saw of a voice. At the bar, Hogan inquired of the beautiful girl, or boy, behind it, as to whether or not American could be understood. The speech, not the psyche. In a tone that went either way, "Certainly, sir." Hogan faltered. The voice only Hogan could hear said, "Hold fast. This does not all have to happen at once." "Great," said Hogan. "My name is Hogan." "Hogan," was the echo. "That is an American name," said the barkeep. "Sounds Central Asian." So that's how Hogan got together with the comely professor. She was moonlighting. She became the exploratorium, a long story, a geography, all because of books, because they are erotic. Beloved of Eros. In case this hasn't been made official, I'll use my cylinder seal to make it so. There, have some copies made. Hand them out to the people. They agreed, Hogan and Dr. X, that travesty, just cross-dressing, wasn't it. Not farce, either. Romance was. It. After she got off work, the doctor and Hogan walked all the way out to Wits End, just in time for low tide in Mothlight. Mugam, Syrian, if you know what that means, Iranian, ditto, with older father Central Asianisms. Central Asia is a very large place. Deserts, mountains, vast terrain, There, the imagination has had a lot of room in which to think it over without much interference, until recently. Periodic exceptions notwithstanding, the game is to have as much sympathetic knowledge of the world as one can find in oneself by affinity, the feeling of likeness. I guess it's rare that a single person can acquire total knowledge of that kind. Interesting leap. 10,000 niches. Taste them all? You should have asked me when I was younger. Hogan did his best this way, but really, Dr. X had him over the proverbial barrel. I see, she said, you are not a stranger to the stranger. Yes, he said, it's a caste or some such subset of luck, both good and bad, like Halage is said to have said, the caste of lovers. It's completely absurd, she said, but it's certainly so charming at its best. All my life, he said, I have had a strange friend. You don't say, said the doc. These are people, he was thinking, who have been around for a long time. But I guess that's so for all of us. Succession, kind of. In her office at the U, they made do. Next time I see you, she said, I am going to give you a piece of my mind, and every time after that, another piece until you know what. This poem has a hairline under it. It says, After Irby's Dream. That's Ken Irby, a poet in Kansas. Old friend. It's called Adventures in Dating and Doom. Now that success seems unlikely and the pants of time, to borrow the image from haberdashery, trousers for a once presentable gentleman, are threadbare, as the moment finally arrived when one must say, adios, caballito. Has it all been a mere passing fancy? What my people call a passing pansy, them that are a backward folk, naive and melancholy and vexed. Up in the ice age ruins do they dwell, up among the stony verves, fed up with this insult to creation, human societies, and their gods, calling one home precisely as the matters of art call one home across the decades, leading one home along the bumpy, rutted road that must be ridden in the rumble seat of this antique vehicle, old, overgrown road to the old house, to its rubble, in the woods, rock and sea and tree and quick summer's flowers. No, I don't think so, little horse. Stick around. Let the leaves turn and skip thee again of it. There's news of the master mistress. He spoke to the missus in the voice of Nicole Williamson playing me. Just you watch, he said, and when I flash a smile at you and say, you're wearing a very pretty blouse, melt. I'll see to the rest.